Okay, we'll just get straight into it. All right, this morning, the title of my message is called The Fruit of Your Lips. The Fruit of Your Lips. Yes. Okay, we're going straight to the scripture. Isaiah chapter 57, verses 18 and 19. Isaiah says here, oh, this might be God. I have seen his ways and I will heal him. I will also lead him and restore comforts to him. These are promises. Heal, lead, restore. And to his mourners. Verse 19. I, God, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord, I will heal him. God said here, I create, which means to form or to fashion or to mould like a potter. He says, I listened to what you say, I listened to your words, and I create, form and fashion the fruit of your lips. How do you get God to work in your life? How do you activate the miracle power of God? Well, God says, I have linked my miraculous, creative, inseparably to the words that you speak in your life. So he creates whatever you keep speaking. He creates, he forms and fashions and molds what you constantly, consistently confess and pray for. Whatever you dare to speak or utter. So the word fruit here means utterance, the utterance of your lips. So what you speak, when you speak it, and if you keep holding fast that confession, and there's a verse that confirms about holding on, and it's in Hebrews 10, 23. And it says, let us hold fast. Hang on, people. Hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hold fast to our confession. Hang on. Now, we sometimes relate that word to confession to being in front of a priest and confessing our guilty admission of sin. But here we're talking about a confession of our faith. Okay, so this is a good thing, the confession of our faith. Now, man has the power to speak, to talk, to confess. But man is the only of God's creation that he made that has the power to talk. Just like God, he spoke the world into existence. In Genesis chapter 3, which is not up there, God took away the speech from the serpent, because we remember back then when Satan came into Adam and Eve, he came in the form of a serpent or in the body of the serpent. And remember back then, serpents could walk and talk because the serpent said to Eve, did God really say that? So we know he spoke. But then God cursed it. God cursed him. And for the rest of its life, they crawl on their belly. And he took the power away for him to, for that to speak. So now, if a demon is going to speak to you, he's going to talk to you through someone. Demons have no legal right to say anything except when our mind, and we give it that right to come into our mind through suggestions, but we don't have to leave it there. We don't have to listen to it. We have to be quick to take it captive and to realise where it's coming from. The main thing he wants to put into our mind is lies. Lies. So God took away the speech from the serpent, but he has not taken away the speech from man. And I'm not talking about just whatever you want to talk about, you know, when you find something in the scriptures and it's good and you believe it in your heart. But then when you begin to speak it and start declaring it, no matter what you see in front of you, no matter how bad that situation is, That's when we need to start speaking it, when you can't see how it could possibly change. And when you get a rhema word, we talked about that last week, a rhema word is a word for now and it's a word for you personally. When you get a rhema word, a specific word, personal word for you, hold on to it fast, because the enemy would want to come straight in and steal it and make you think, oh, that wasn't from God, or that's not working, look here in front of me. But we have to believe what it says, because what God says is greater than what's going on in the world. So change your words and you'll begin to change your life. If you want to become something different, change what you're confessing and what you're speaking. Think about the words that come out of your mouth. Do they line up with what God would say in his word? Are they life speaking? Words can change the atmosphere of your life. So we read in Isaiah just then that God said, I create the fruit of your lips. In Hebrews says, in 13:15, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of our lips. That's exactly what Janet said. It's continually praising and thanking him, not but. God is good, but. No, it's continually praising him with the fruit of our lips and giving thanks to his name. It mightn't be just because you've heard a good word and you're positive, but, or how you're feeling when you're feeling low. No, you have to declare the words, the continual sacrifice of our praise. That's the time to start speaking when things aren't looking good. When they're looking good, we don't probably think about it, but we can still praise God. Verse 15 here, it tells us to offer the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. What is a sacrifice of praise? It's simply giving thanks in all circumstances, which we can confirm in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where it says, in everything, give thanks. And the important thing here is, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything, give thanks. We don't have to give thanks for the bad thing, but we can give thanks that God is with us through hard times, through bad situations. Giving thanks in all things has been a verse that has changed my life. I learned this secret as a broken and desperate person. I learned that the fruit of my lips that God used to form and fashion and create my future. You see, last week, when I got Graham up here and prayed for him, got Craig and Royce up here, when I laid my hand on him and I said these words, God, I pray for this man of God. And in a split second, this emotion came over me, but it was a spiritual moment and I didn't realize it till later. God said to me, you got what you spoke. And it hit me because for 20 or whatever years, I would say, God, I thank you that my husband would be the man of God that you've called and created him to be. And I thank you that he would love me with your love. And it hit me last week that after all those years that God said, you got what you asked for. You got what you spoke, what you declared. And many times it did not look like that. But I had a determination in me that that would happen, and it did. So how much time do we waste putting in negative words that speak death when there's no life in them? I remember when we were at a BMI day, 5 years ago maybe, Peter Frogley came up to me and he said, I've got a word for Graham, but I'm going to tell you. And I said, okay. And he said, the day's coming when your husband is going to be in the Word so much and running after God so much that you're going to be going, wait for me, wait for me. And I hung on to that because I knew that was a word from God. Did it look like it? No. It looked like he was running the opposite way. But God saw that. And that was another thing that made me be determined to keep declaring what I wanted. I thanked him that my marriage would glorify God. And it never did before. You see, our declaration has power. We need to be saying, God, I praise you that my steps are ordered. I praise you that you are leading me and you're guiding me. And he says, and the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So, God, I praise you that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. These are right from the Bible. These are words. And God says in his word that you have not because you ask not. Now, it's true, we need to sometimes, we think, oh, we don't deserve that, so we don't ask. But not only ask, declare. Declare. If it's lining up with his word, I mean, if you're asking for a blue car and you get a red one, we'll think that's, you know, that's a little bit different. But if it's your family, which is your right, if it's your husband's or your friends or whatever it is, if it's what would line up with God's word and it's true, declare it in the heavenlies. Declare it over your children and your grandchildren, because we know some of them are not walking with the Lord. Not only that, they're way off the rails. Declare it. It's going to come to pass. I loved when I was going through some things. I didn't put this one up there either. Philippians 4, 6 to 8. I used to quote it. Do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation. So I took it sentence by sentence, word by word. So, okay, I'm anxious. I'm really anxious, God. He says, don't be anxious about anything. What's anything? Anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, there's the thanksgiving again, present your request to God. Okay, I've done that. I'm going to give them to you, Lord. And then it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, which it is, it's unbelievable. It will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So what did I do? I asked, but with thanksgiving. So I not only declared, I thanked him in advance. God, I thank you in advance for this. I thank you that we as a family will serve the Lord. And we will give glory to you. And I thanked him for it in advance. I thank you, God, that I'm favored, that I'm blessed. This is what we should be saying because it's so true. And I praise you, God, that I know that you've done a good work in me and in my family. And we may be going through a rough time at the moment, but he will make perfect that which concerns me. All from the Bible. What am I doing? That's how we pray. That's how we pray. We thank him. And we're asking, but we're thanking him. Don't just sit back and let life hit you. Because he said, I create, I form, I fashion the fruit of your lips. And the fruit of your lips is the continual praise that you offer God. Life or death, Loris's favourite scripture. What you speak and what you confess in Proverbs 18:21, we've got it there. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. So what are you going to speak? We have to get a hold of this. Now in Mark, God talks about moving mountains. And I just want to say in this scripture, Mark 11, the mountains are our problems. Okay? For assuredly I say to you, whoever says, whoever speaking to this mountain of problems, be removed and cast into the sea. And if you do not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Jesus said, speak to the mountain, talk to the mountain. The mountain knows your voice. What are you saying about your situation? What are you saying about your marriage? You know, I can't believe, I never thought marriage could be so good. I was sort of like, okay, if it's better than it was, I'm happy. I can't believe that God has not only restored what's been stolen, but he's enhanced it. He's grown it. And, you know, if your marriage is good and you want it better, you just start declaring about it. You just say, thank you, God, that our marriage is going to be glorifying you in every way. And we need to be doing that for our kids, don't we? There's so many lost. So speak to the mountain. Say the word of God to the mountain. God loves it when we quote his word. I think there's power in that when we use the scriptures and pray that into our situations, because we serve a God of miracles, a mountain-moving God, and you either believe it or you don't. So give it a try if you've never done it before. You have to start sometime if you want to see things change. He can move the mountain of cancer. He can move the financial disaster mountain, the mountain of addiction. But you've got to open your mouth and give God words, because he is a word God and he works with words. Joel in chapter 3:10 says, let the weak say, I am strong. I really understand that. When I was weak, people would say, gee, you're strong. And I'm like, no, I'm not, but God in me is. And so I could start saying, I am strong, I am strong. And you build yourself up in the Lord. It's good. So be strong in him and his promises. You know, start throwing these seeds out there. Start saying these things. You know, you might be going through what you might say, I'm going through hell at the moment, but really, I don't think so. Hell, I don't think we really know how bad hell is. We might talk about that one day. But we can say, I am strong. I am not quitting. I am not failing. I am going to get back what's mine and what's been stolen. And God will start to form you into a new future. My marriage is strong. My children are saved. They mightn't be yet, but you declare them saved into the kingdom. And don't worry about what you see, because quite often, as soon as we start praying these things, all hell breaks loose and the enemy has a go. And we start thinking, oh, well, that didn't work. No, hang in there. When I thought things were going to work, they went the opposite. But I never gave up. I never gave up. So the enemy wants to steal it, but he can't have it for too long, because it's God's and we've got to get it back. You know, I'm tired of the devil sending stuff, sickness, and taking our people out. And, you know, we can just say, get it, give it, take it back or send it off, because we've got to praise God that there's victory here. He sought me, he bought me with his redeeming blood, and he loves me. And I'm talking to you, he loves you. You see, we have the victory. This is victory words when you understand the power of our words, the power of not choosing negative, faithless words. It can change your life. Let's have a quick look at some of the people in the Bible that did that. The first one is the woman with the issue of blood. She was sick for many, many years. She tried everything. She'd used all of her money. She'd go into doctors, getting help, but they could not help her. And she said to herself, within herself, she'd had enough and she was desperate and she was determined now. And she says in Mark 5:28, if only I may touch the hem of his clothes, I will be made well. She made a declaration, if only I could touch the hem of his garment, I will be made well. She said, I will be made well. Like, I know I might, I will be. I shall be. The miracle didn't start until she started declaring it. And when she said it, God probably said, well, I've been waiting on that. He formed it, he fashioned it, and she was healed. Hundreds of people were reaching and touching him, but only one of them that touched his garment was healed, and he made a whole. David and Goliath in the Old Testament. The Bible tells us for 40 days and for 40 nights, the first thing in the morning, Goliath would get out of their camp, put on his armor, walk out to the battlefield and talk trash. He humiliated the Hebrew God. He humiliated the Hebrew people. What came out of his mouth was garbage. And that was the first thing that the people heard in their tents every morning for these 40 mornings when the sun came up, was the voice of negative, cursed words and defilement of their God. But finally, David shows up. And the thing about David was he was a worshipper. And so when he shows up, he hears the giant out there talking trash night and day, and he's like, I've had enough. Who is this Philistine? Who does this guy think he is? And in 1 Samuel 17:37, David says, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, see, he killed a lion, and the paw of the bear, he'd killed a bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. He declared it, that the Lord would deliver him. This was his confession, that God would deliver him into his hands. And he ran out and he defeated Goliath, but not without the power of his confession. And another example is the Syrophoenician woman, if I've said that correctly. She was Greek by birth, bit of an outcast. And she came and fell at Jesus' feet because her young daughter had an unclean spirit. And she kept asking Jesus to cast the demon out of her. You know, Satan is targeting our young people with demonic spirits, demonic activities, depression, suicidal thoughts, addictions, alcoholism, drug addictions, eating disorders. All these things are targeted at our young people. Sexual immorality and every way that Satan can destroy their self-esteem and cause them to hate themselves, he will. But this woman said to Jesus, I cannot get my daughter free. She is suffering with an unclean spirit. And Jesus says, which is a weird thing, and there's a whole sermon behind this, but just take for what it is. He says, it's not right to give the children bread to the dogs. But he was putting something out there to see what she was going to say. And she said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs get the crumbs, Master. And so Jesus made a phenomenal statement. He says, great is this woman, is her faith, because of her saying. And he said, go your way, woman, for the demon has gone out of your daughter. She got desperate. She got desperate. Are we desperate enough to start declaring these things over our lives and our family? We can open our mouths and we can plead the blood of Jesus and devils have to go. We're not victims. Some of us need to walk around our homes and declare that this is the house of the Lord and we will serve the Lord. The fruit of our lips, he forms. But if you don't praise him for anything, he forms nothing and no change will come into your life. There are three voices that talk to you. The voice from the pit, which says things like disease, you're dying, just give up. It's probably cancer, nothing they can do. Then there's the voice of God. He speaks healing, health. He speaks peace, joy. He speaks forgiveness, acceptance. And just as I am, he loves me. He speaks salvation. Then there's the third voice, yours. It's your voice. And in Malachi, as I finish, Malachi 2:17, you have wearied the Lord with your words. Wow. You have wearied the Lord with your words. So words have power. And I pray that today you get the revelation of speaking out what you want, what is yours, and your future. And he will fashion it. So don't give up because your future depends on it. Amen. Amen. So our words are powerful. And I now realise I've got to do some more speaking out for my kids, my son, and I'm going to see it happen. And I, you know what? My son is seeing the fruit of his father. And I know God's using that. And at the right time, as we speak over his life, I know that God is going to bring him into the kingdom as well. And he will do the same for you. He will do the same for you. Okay, so yesterday at the ladies, we played this beautiful little clip. And I know some of you weren't there yesterday. And the clip that we played was supposed to move and show different pictures, and it didn't. So we're going to play that for you today. So just sit and sit under it and receive what the Holy Spirit wants to talk to you. So when that clip's finished, then we've got another song that goes for quite a while. At that time, feel free to leave when you're ready, or sit there as long as you want, or if anyone would like me to pray for them, I would be privileged to do that. So let's do our business with God. And this one's called The God Who Sees. He sees everything.